We might just unmute the three speakers. Thank you, everyone on the panel who shared. We're just going to throw open for questions. And please just feel free to jump in if you have an experience. Or how do you know if you need Al-Anon?
Well, if you are, yeah, Don, do you want to ask that? Answer that question?
You man.
Well, I would say that if you are at this event, and if you may have identified with anything I or any of these other Al-Anon speakers shared, you might want to check it out. If you are obsessed with another person's drinking, that might be a reason why you want to check it out. Or you might just want to attend an Al-Anon meeting and see if that fits for you. That would be my answer.
Beautiful. I'll just move on to the next one. If you have a sponsee not doing the work, nor calling, do you actually release them formally, or let them consider you their sponsor even if you never hear from them again?
I'll take this real quick. So I have a thing that I've come to call the phone call, because it's happened so many times in my sobriety, I had to give it a name. It's called the phone call. And I will call up a guy that I feel like I'm only sponsoring a name only, and I will say, by the way, who's sponsoring you these days? And he'll say, what are you talking about? You're my sponsor. And I go, I thought you thought that. And then I'll explain to them that that's not what we're actually doing. And then I'll explain to them how much I love them and care about them. And I'll say, listen, I really want to have an active relationship with you, but what we're doing isn't sponsorship. So we can just be friends. I will always be there for you. You know, we don't take hostages here, but I really suggest that we start this over. Now, about 50% of the time, we start over. We get back into the activities. We get back into connecting. Things move out. And about half the time, they drift away. But what I don't do is I don't get angry. I don't get a resentment. I don't get condemning. I sponsor guys. If they don't call me, I call them, you know, because the principle at work here is love of another alcoholic, right? And I wouldn't hesitate to call one of my friends if I was worried about them. I wouldn't hesitate to call one of my buddies in AA if I hadn't heard from them or seen them. Why would I hesitate to call a sponsee? Because what, I'm the sponsor? No, they need to call me. That's ego, right? We're here to be helpful. That's our only end. But I will make clear, because sometimes people don't know. They actually don't know. They get off the beam. I get off the beam. I'm 28 years sober. My sponsor's 39. He will call me or send me a text. And just a simple text. So how are you? And that's code for you need to call me. So the same. Thanks.
Thanks, Don.
Can I chime in for a second? Or how does this thing, is that how this works? Or?
Yes, go for it.
Sure, because even in Al-Anon, when I asked my sponsor to sponsor me, the first action was we decide on having a regular call time. And I've been doing that call time now for coming up on 26 years, every Monday night. And so I asked her to sponsor me. She said, yes, I'm willing to be there for you. Let's make this commitment to one another. And that's kind of been the base commitment that has allowed us to move forward. And I do the same thing with the guys that asked me to sponsor them. I'll say, okay, let's set up a committed time for us to be in touch, because this is active. You know, you're not just going to say, hey, this guy's my sponsor. If somebody asks you if you have a sponsor, or if you're speaking at a meeting or something, yeah, it's a podium sponsor, that kind of thing. And if they don't start the call, I do get in touch. Or if I see them at my home group, there's a couple in my home group. Hey, how you doing? They kind of start walking away because they're feeling guilty because they didn't make the call. But I'm the one that reaches out, and I keep reaching out. But you're, like Don said, there's times when this is not sponsorship. But hey, you're still a nice guy, and I'd be happy to chat with you. But for me, I really strongly believe in that regular active commitment. That's what's worked for me. And that's what I don't force that on people. We agree on it together. And that really is what the way that works up in my world. Thanks.
Great. Thanks. Darren? You want to jump in, Darren?
No, I'm good.
I don't know if this is a question or a statement. AA helps Al-Anon, so there's every good chance Al-Anon can help AA.
I'm not an alcoholic, so I think even being an alcoholic, it'd be interesting to hear from an alcoholic. I can certainly tell you that as an Al-Anon member, I have been helped. I can't even quantify how much I've been helped listening to sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous share so freely of their experience. And it's helped me, number one, kind of understand the alcoholics in my life. But quite frankly, when they're sharing about practicing at the 12 steps of AA, which I practice, it's helped me grow spiritually and as a human being. So as an Al-Anon listening to AA, absolutely 100%. It'd be interesting to hear if an AA has the same experience about listening to an Al-Anon.
Aaron?
Yeah, certainly. I have been to many Al-Anons meetings myself over the years, certainly been to Al-Anon speakers during AA conferences. And I've learnt as much from them how they are in their daily life as I have learnt from alcoholics how they are in their daily life. Working the program of recovery from alcoholism, especially 8 and 9, 10 and 11, I may have learnt more from some Al-Anons. So it has certainly helped me.
Yeah, if I was going to throw anything just quickly, I absolutely love Al-Anon. It's played a big part in my recovery. Although I'm not an Al-Anon member, I've been blessed to have wonderful Al-Anon members around me in my recovery. And, you know, Rick's one of them. I'll tell you, the separation between Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon that exists in some places today did not exist in the beginning of the Alcoholics Anonymous Society. I want to be clear about that. It was looked at as a family disease, and we needed family recovery. And nothing would please me more than as time unfurls as we go forward, we remember our roots and we become more united, a greater spirit of cooperation, not affiliation, but better cooperation. The division is sometimes confusing to me. I've been to too many funerals and seen too many family members that were never touched by the hand of recovery because they didn't know it was available to them. And I think it's one of the things as sponsors, we need to talk to our new members and ask them about their family and what we're doing about their recovery. Read the chapter, Working with Others, in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and see if you can find the breadcrumbs that Bill Wilson dropped about that very thing. I was supposed to be helping the family. Thank you.
It's an old saying that I remember hearing it when I was in program many years ago. It's like, to the AA member, complete the 12-step call. Let the family that there's a program there for them as well.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Question for all three. What's your take on we feel that elimination of our drinking is but a beginning? A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. What's your guys' take on that reading?
Don.
Well, what you read was one of the things in the big book that I referred to is one of the most quoted loopholes in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And let me explain why. That's a beautiful reading, but you have to read the whole thing. It says, none of us, and it goes on to say, none of us make a sole vocation of this work, nor do we think its effectiveness would be increased if we did. A greater demonstration of our principles awaits us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. And people say that, and they stop. And they say, hey, I worked the program at home. I worked the program at work. I didn't get sober to live in meetings. But they don't read the next part, which says, all of us spend most of our spare time in the work we are about to describe. Some of us are so situated we can devote nearly all of our time to that work. What that means to me is I'm uniquely qualified to carry the message of love and hope to the alcoholic that still suffers. Yes, I need to practice these principles in all my affairs, but I can never forget that I am uniquely qualified to help the still suffering alcoholic. I've seen people get in a lot of trouble over the years by getting well at Alcoholics Anonymous and deciding they're going to return their normal life and forgetting their 12-step promise, their 12-step legacy, their 12-step commitment. And I've watched them get into a lot of trouble behind that. You know, I don't want to ever get well in Alcoholics Anonymous to the point that I don't think I need to work with other alcoholics to ensure my sobriety. And the book is very clear that in the beginning, they took most of their spare time. And what is spare time? Well, that's after work. That's after family. That's after social commitments. It doesn't mean I don't have a well-rounded full life. It just means that time, that special quality dining time where I'm doing nothing but being self-obsessed, maybe that could be used for spiritual endeavors. Just an idea. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Rick O'Dara?
No, I think I'm good.
Beautiful. Message for Rick. Want to talk with Rick about sponsorship. 25 years in AA, 5 in Al-Anon. Oh, I think this is a message. Okay, I have another one. With all the treatment centers, jails, my home group, and all of the other meetings I frequent, how does one go about working with other alcoholics? I'm feeling not much use these days. Thanks.
If I can jump on that one. If I'm properly armed with facts about myself, if I've had a spiritual awakening, if I've been taken through the book and I'm on fire for this thing, then it just pours out. You can't stop me. Don's a very large man. He wouldn't be able to hold me back. 8 Dons wouldn't be able to hold me back from getting to the drunk that still suffers if I'm properly armed and I've had a spiritual awakening. I'm just driven. I can't stop myself. So that's me.
Okay, can you do a 12-step wrong?
I believe that we can. If I jump on this quickly, Don, and then over to you guys. So our book and Dr. Bob's story, if you read Dr. Bob's story, he says, this was the first man with whom I've ever met who knew what he was talking about from actual personal experience. As Don just said, we are uniquely gifted with a story of alcoholism. And while I'm busy telling the guy about my mental inconsistencies, about the fact that I can't stop after I start, he's nodding away like a dog, a toy dog on the parcel shelf of the car, saying, I'm just like that. I'm exactly like that. How did you get sober? So if I follow that, then there's probably, along with a lot of other suggestions in our book, especially working with others, then I've got a really good basis for a 12-step call.
I'll jump in. I would say that it's if you're truly doing what the 12-step says to do and carrying the message of this awakening and the actions I've taken to get that, then you're doing the 12-step call right. I'm trying to be your counselor. I'm trying to be your therapist. I'm trying to be your friend. I'm trying to if I'm just allowing you to dump all over and not kind of get involved in any kind of constructive action that will help you move forward spiritually, I wouldn't say I'm doing the 12-step call wrong. I'd say I'm not doing a 12-step call. That would be my answer.
I'll just say this and I'll be done. You know who I like? I like people that like me. I think the basis of 12-step work is be kind. I think if you're kind and you're trying to be helpful and that's on your heart, it's not about your knowledge of the book. It's not about this great direction you're giving. I don't remember any of that from being new. I really don't. I mean, most of my memories are hearsay. I was pretty damaged when I got here. But you know what I remember is the kindness. And the people that were kind to me are the ones that caused me to come back the next night, because I wanted to experience more of that.
OK, Okay, what are your suggestions about how to get in service, working with others during quarantine?
I'll just share quickly about what I've done. I sponsor a group of guys. They sponsor a group of guys. They haven't necessarily had all their phone numbers up until a few days ago. And I collated all of that and I sent it around to everyone. And I said, assuming we're not spitballing outside meetings because we're not being able to go and talk to newcomers, at the very least, start calling each other. Try to ring four or five guys a day. Certainly a couple of guys that I've started sponsoring in the last 2 weeks, I've asked my guys to start ringing them as well. So that's what I've done. Over to you guys.
I'm sorry, Don, you go ahead.
No, Rick, please.
I say, as far as new people, I haven't, since this has started, I haven't had a chance to connect with anybody new. It'd be interesting to see how that happens in this format, but but certainly with the guys that I sponsor and with my own sponsor, it's been quite astonishing, the level of connection. I've even been joking that I'm more connected in isolation than I am when I'm not isolated. It's just astonishing how many these kind of Zoom meetings and these Zoom events and the phone calls. It's really amazing.
Yeah, our 12 steps says that we carry the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. It doesn't say we carry the message to just the new man or new woman. What I mean by that is, to a degree, we're all at a different level of uncomfortability. I don't know if I would call it suffering, but our lives have been changed, but not for the better for most of us. So everybody's a little bit off kilter. I've been using the phone. I've been using Messenger. I've been using Zoom. I am more connected with people from all over than I was before this started. It's very interesting now. Amazing. You know, we kind of know what to do when this happens. And let's make sure that when, you know, I talked a lot about sponsorship in my talk, but that's, you know, that's just an aspect of 12-step work. Really good 12-step work is calling an old timer in your group and going, I was just thinking of you and I want to see how you're doing. Calling one of your friends in your home group that maybe you're not tight with, not one of your good buddies, but a guy that you've been going to meetings with and it's an appointment, call him up and just say, hey, I was thinking of you, how are you doing? You know, that kindness, that principle of kindness is really the backbone, I believe, of good 12-step work. Reaching out, you know, broadening your own definition of what 12-step work is. You know, it's not always dramatic, like I reached out and I helped, you know, bring the message of love and hope to this guy and saved his life through the program of alcoholics. Sometimes it's just letting people know we're thinking of them, staying connected, carrying the message. And what's the message? You're not alone. Isn't that a great message? How do you do that? Call somebody up and go, you're not alone.
Beautiful. Okay, I'm just trying to filter through comments and questions. I probably missed a few questions, but here's one. What do you say to people, Don, who say sponsorship is not in the people?
I say they're absolutely right. You should be very proud of you. Now, having said that, there's a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous that we take for granted that we do all the time that aren't in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. We're over 80 years old, and the principle, okay, of one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, that principle is the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous. All that we've done with sponsorship is we gave a name to the relationship of the member that was here first that's reaching back to the newer member and saying, I know the way out of the woods. Come with me. We've given it a name. It's been here since the beginning. You know, sponsorship, if you think sponsorship wasn't involved in the beginning, you haven't read our history. I mean, and sponsorship was very different in the beginning in good old Akron, Ohio, when a new man came in and they took him upstairs and a group of men would take him, or one or two men would take him through the first three steps, your first night in Alcoholics Anonymous. And only then were you allowed to come down and join everybody else. That was very structured, very important to the men that began this thing, that you actually wanted their solution. So sponsorship has been here from day one. We just didn't have that name for it. We've just given it a name. Thanks.
Thanks, Tom. So we have probably half a minute left, and I think this last question would be a good one to go out on. Don, could you please share the prayer you said at the end of your share?
It's an approach that I have that's in the form of a prayer. So the words are not important. Much like the third step prayer in the big book where Bill Wilson said, the wording was, of course, quite optional as long as we express the idea without reservation. So what's the idea? And the idea is I'm a selfish, self-centered alcoholic. And I noticed that sometimes I arrived in AA and I wasn't prepared to go to an AA meeting. That I would walk in and I'd go right to my buddies or right to the coffee pot and walk right by newcomers. And it doesn't mean that I'm not a good AA. I was just in my head. So I started to pause before I went in some variation. It should be your words, and my words change. But there's something along this line. God, I'm at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've got the world hanging all over me. I've got my money problems, my sex problems, my work problems, and all the little things I think are so important. Please, let me leave those in the front seat of this truck. I know you'll take good care of them. Give me eyes to see. Give me a heart to feel. Although it's just another night in AA for me, this could be the most important night of somebody's life. Please let me remember that. And it's a short prayer, and sometimes it's accompanied, depending upon my state of agitation with my own life. I've had to sit in the cab for 10 minutes at times, just remembering what I'm supposed to do. Because I'm no good to anybody if I walk into AA full of self, looking to get fed rather than feed. Thank you.
Beautiful. And on that note, can we please thank our panel for the Step 12 contributions? Thank you very much. And I'll hand the meeting back to our host. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Brangie, and thanks to our three speakers. What a fantastic panel. We may just take a moment's silence to